7b1, Zayin Amid Beis, 5 lines in the top of the page. Darish Rabbi Yeshia learned, he said, Rav Nachum Beyitzchok, some people say Rav Nachum Beyitzchok. Ma'idichsiv, what is this that it says in the Pasik, Beis David, Koyamar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Dine Labeke Mishpat, execute judgment in the morning, Ve'itzilu Gozel, and save the person that was being robbed from the hands of the oppressor. So the question of the Gemara is like this. The Pasuk seems to imply that when the Bezdin judge in the morning, because it says, sit and judge in the morning and save people from being stolen. Yeah? Judge is only judge in the morning and not the rest of the day. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And what it means is, this speaking to the judge, if you're clear in your judgment, like morning, then imru, then say it. In other words, when you make a judgment, be 100% clear that this is the correct judgment. Vim lavin, if you're not clear, I'll tell you, don't give the verdict. So this is what the person, not you judge in the morning, not a whole day. When you make a judgment, it has to be clear as day that you're right. Rabbi Yenison, Rabbi Yenison says the name of Rabbi Yenison, we learn out from a different pasuk, the same concept. Its pasuk says, Emer la chochma chesiot, say to chochma, you're my sister. I was like, what does this mean? In baru lecha adavar, if it's this judgment, is certain to you like your sister, that you know for sure you're not allowed to marry her, Emru, then you could say it. Vim lav, and if you're not that certain, ultimate. In other words, everybody knows you can't marry a sister. So it means, amarta la chochma, when it comes to issue of chochma, if you're sure it's like your sister, meaning clear, then you can say it. And if not, don't say it. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said, Asare sheyesh v'bedin, 10 people sit in judgment. If you have 10 judges, and they should know, Kaler tol toli betzavar kulim. A chain hangs around the neck of each of them, meaning they're all responsible for the judgment. You can't say, listen, there's 9 other people besides me, what's the difference? Each one of the 10, you should know you're responsible. So Gemara says Pshita, one second, Gemara says Pshita, of course, they mean that they're making the decision, of course each one is responsible. So Gemara says what it means, if the teacher is sitting and there's a Talmud in front of him, okay, and the student is not actually part of the case, part of the judgment, but like we learned before in the Gemara, if a Talmud sees that the Rebbe is making a mistake in judgment, he has an obligation to tell him. And that's what it means, that even though the student is not sitting one of the 10, so to speak, but he's in the room, or even if he's one of the 10, but he's not the Rebbe, he's only the Talmud, he's responsible also, just like the Rebbe is. The Gemara says like this, therefore Rav Huna, the Gemara says, the way Tamiroim of the Gemara would save their hide, so to speak. Rav Huna ki ava asadina lakameik, whenever Rav Huna had a judgment before him, michnif umaisa asar rabbanim mibeirav, he would bring 10 chachamim from the yeshiva. Why? Amar, he said, why? That each one will receive, literally means a chip of the beam. Meaning, why do I need to take the responsibility for myself? We'll divide it up into 10. And the same thing, the Gemara says, Ravashi, when a question regarding a treifa animal, you know, if the animal is kosher or not, whatever. Ravashi was the Rav of Mechasya. That was his city. So you bring all the butchers of Mechasya. Amar, he said, let them all together make the decision, because they were the experts in meat. But at least he said, let each one receive a chip of the beam. In other words, let each one receive the responsibility. And that's why Bechlau, what the Gemara says in many places, it's better that you have more judges. Number one, you get a clearer picture, you have more minds working on it. But in addition to that, each one takes a certain responsibility for this din.
Judge a chicken every time to get 10 people's time?
Judge a chicken, he didn't say it. He said all the butchers in Mechasi. How big do you think Mechasi was? 2 blocks by 3 blocks? how big do you think those shtetl?
On
a treifa. So he brought all the butchers. How many butchers do you think there were?
All the butchers or all the 10 scholars?
No, Rav Huna brought scholars.
for a judgment. He brought stam for shaila.
What did they get the responsibility divided? He was talking about how clear each one is going to be. What does that have to do with responsibility?
No, they should realize. They should realize that my opinion is I can't say there's nine other people, who cares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to come clear with the judgment. Okay, Kiyosid Avdimi, when Avdimi came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, he came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Dorah should have Nachmakain expounded like this. Maidachsiv, Melech Bamishpat Yamid Ores. The Pasuk says, a king through justice establishes the world, Vishtrumeis, but a man of gifts, Yarseno, will destroy it. A king establishes a world, and the guy who gets gifts destroys it. What does this mean? What does it mean like this? If a judge is like a king that has all the money he needs, he doesn't need to take bribes, right? Then he's fine. But if he's similar to a kohen, that's why it says trumas. The kohenim used to go out and collect. The kohenim used to go out to the various people and say, I'm a kohen, give me the stuff. I'm a kohen, give me the stuff. So the kohen meaning he needed money. So he says like this, if you're a judge like a king that doesn't need money, and therefore you're going to judge honestly, you're okay. If you're going to be like trumas, like a kohen that needs money, and therefore any money he can get, he's going to get, and therefore he'll take bribe. You should know you're going to overthrow the government. Then you're sent, then you're going to destroy it.
They didn't use to work?
The
Kohanim or Dayan?
Kohanim didn't work.
They were obligated not to work? Or
no, they could work. They worked in the Beis HaMikdash 2 weeks a year, plus Yom Tif. What do you think they worked? They had shift, right? 24 shifts.
Yeah.
So each kohen worked two weeks a year, and then on the chagim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they all worked.
So what did they do the rest of the?
They could work.
What did they do the rest of the year? Play poker. played with their iPhones. I don't know what they did.
Why didn't they work?
Who said they couldn't work? They couldn't own land, but they could work. They didn't have jobs. Okay, then the Gemara says like this: Devei Nisiya. The head of the Nasi, remember we learned that there was a Reish Galusa. Okma Dayana de Le'ava Gomer. They once appointed a judge that was not, he didn't know how to learn. The guy was an Amoritz. Amale Lihuda Ban Achmeini. So the Nasi said to Yehuda Ban Achmeini, who was the Meturgim of Reish Lakish, who was the interpreter, I'll explain this whole thing, of Reish Lakish, Kuma Le'ava Meira, stand as a spokesman for him, and that he should sound intelligent. In other words, like this, the guy didn't know how to learn. The guy they appointed. But it was an embarrassment. They couldn't start up with the Nasi's house. So this person, Yehuda Ben Nachmani, said to Reish Lakish's Meturgamen. In the time of the Gemara, they had, it was literally means an interpreter, but it wasn't an interpreter. When the Rameira of the Gemara would teach, or the Tana for that matter, they would have a guy next to them, got to know how to learn, and they would whisper the halacha in their ear, and the guy would publicize it. He had a louder voice, and he was able to explain it. So the Rosh Yeshiva would say b'kitzer, you know, quietly to him, and he would be a meturgam, I mean, he would be the spokesman. He would teach it aloud publicly. So this guy didn't know how to learn. So this Yehuda Ben Nachmani says to him, to Reish Lakish's interpreter, bend over and make it sound as if he's telling you something, and then you publicize the halacha that you know. So he says, "But v'leh, come gachan aleh." So he bent over to him. But v'leh amar v'leh midi. The guy didn't know what to say. That the samaritz couldn't even say anything to him. Pasuk va'amar. So Yehuda ben Nachmani said like this. There's a pasuk that says, "Hoy amar le'etz." Woe is to the one that says to the wood, Hakitza, wake up. Or, Le'evan, daimim, to an inanimate stone, he would say, Ge'uri, get up. Then the pasuk continues, Huyei, Ravine, Utaf, Ezov, Ekesev, Echoruach, Eim, Bekirbe.
can it reach? Behold, he's loaded with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all. Va'asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu liparted mimenu, and liparted, and Hashem is eventually going to punish the ones that put up such judges. In other words, he basically saw the guy was such an amaretz. He came up publicly and said, this is a diamond, this is a stone, a rock, an ignorant person, and God is going to punish those that establish such a person as a judge. Shenema v'avaya behechol kotche, Hashem is in his holy temple. Has mi panav kol haaretz, the whole world should be silent before him, meaning that the whole world would be destroyed like the previous pasuk. So therefore it's going to be a disaster. So basically, the Gemara just tells the story that this Dayan was not a proper Dayan, and they were upset with him. Amir Shlokesh, Shir Shlokesh said another thing. Any community or any person that establishes, appoints a judge in a community that's not fit for the job, as if he planted an Asherah as an idol-worshipping tree amongst the Yidden. Now whoever puts up a judge that's not good is like they planted Avodah Zarah by the Jews. Where do we see such a thing? Shenema, because the Pasuk says in today's Parsha, right? Sheftim v'sheitim titan l'cha. And right away it says, Leisita l'cha sheita koleitz. Don't plant this idol tree. So Gemara says, what's the connection between the two? That if you put up a judge that's not proper, it's like you were, in other words, you should appoint judges that are good and don't put up an Asherah tree. I mean, they should be proper judges, because if you don't, it's like you're creating an Asherah tree.
Rabbi, these two pesukim are three pesukim apart from each other. So is it, how can you able to still say that they're because
the first few pesukim are the same concept. Sheitim, sheitim, telechob, chol, sherach, hasherach, no, the second puzzle is sita lecha sherach, kolit.
It says here, the first pasuk is pasuk 18, and the second pasuk 21. So I guess it's nice.
It's all one hemshech. No, it's one. The pasuk sheftim v'sheitim is a few pesukim. Sedek sedek tiyadev. Man tichi v'rashpia sa shemakech ha'nesin loch. Leisita loch ha'asher ha'kolet. No. Yeah, but it's in the same... Here. Leisata mishpat, leisaki panim. These are all judges that are no good. Then it says, it's tzedek tzedek tzedek, leisita lecha. So it's one continuation of what type of judges must you set up. So that's one concept. The pasuk is saying, these are the judges you must set up. Right? And then the pasuk is, leisita lecha sheda kolets. So that's what it means. Then the Gemara says, the pasuk says, don't make for me golden gods and silver gods. He says, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. And wooden gods you could make. The Torah says, don't make elokei kesef elokei zahav. Right? Don't make gods of silver and gold. So the Gemara says, but a wooden god you're allowed to make? Of course not. Amar Avashi, what does it mean? Elokab b'shvil kesef, elokab b'shvil zahav. A judge is called Elokim, right? Lesekalol Elokim lesekalol. You have to bring a base Elokim yovei dvar shneim, right? So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Don't make elokei zahav and elokei kesef. Don't make a judge that was appointed because of money, of gold or silver. And there's, don't appoint a judge that was through bribe of gold or silver.
Based on the answer the Gemara just gave, Asherah, the Gemara should have never asked this question, because the Torah says not to plant any trees.
No. What's the question?
Which is the eights. So the Gemara says,
you can plant a tree. You can plant a tree.
Asherah you can.
Yeah, Asherah is next to the Mizbech, as an idol worshipping. But the Gemara says, it says, don't make for me God out of silver or gold. So the Gemara says, and wooden gods you could make.
Of course not.
No, yeah. Yeah, there's a...
Where does the pasuk say?
Asherah.
No, it doesn't. Leisita l'cha Asherah is not an idol tree. You plant it next to the Mizbech for idol usage. But that's a unique thing of planting it. How do you know you can't make carbon out of silver or gold?
You can't use the same pasuk.
No.
And a plastic god you could make. I mean, what's
okay,
the difference?
I know the Gemara is just using it as a term, as a whatever qualification. But okay.
Then it says like this: Rav ki ava osa lebeidina. Whenever Rav came to a bezdin to sit as a dayan, he would say the following: Bereis nafshei of his own will. L'ktola nafik. This man is going to his death. Okay, meaning, if I err in judgment, Rashi says, I'm going to be killed. V'tzvi l'beisa l'esi all of it. He said like this. This is a lousy job. If I make a wrong judgment, I'm going to get killed. Meanwhile, savi beisa l'ev l'ovet. The duties of my household I can't do, because I'm busy in court. V'reik on l'beisa ayol. In fact, he goes back to his house empty-handed because Alpidin judges weren't allowed to get paid. They only got Schar Batola, which was like minimum wage. And I should only hope that my returning home should be as pure as when I went to the court, meaning that I didn't make mistakes. So basically, Rav said, look at this this lousy job I have.
He's discouraging people.
Yeah, he says, no money. No work getting done, and I'm killing myself.
No,
Yechidi. But Rav wasn't Yechidi. Rav was a mumcha. But,
No money and no glory.
No glory, no money. Kiave ambur de sifra basrei. When Rav would see people, Rav was he was called Rav because he was the greatest person in his generation, like Rebbe. Except he lived in Bavel, so he was called Rav instead of Rebbe. So he said when a crowd would follow him, he would say, Im yala la shemaim siyei. If his stature rises to the heavens, Biglole lanetach yevid, he shall perish forever like waste. In other words, Rav says, the crowds go, but it's like garbage. What's going to be my end? In other words, basically Rav is saying he did it, that he shouldn't feel haughty.
Did what?
Look at the crowds are following him. He can get haughty. So he says, if his stature rises to the heavens, he shall perish forever. It's going to be short lived.
They tell
a story. Al Rebbe was once in a place, and they were calling him Yamed, Adinein, Mareinu, Rabbeinu, a lot of. And Al Rebbe was smiling. Later, the Al Rebbe went to his room, and the door was closed, but they overheard through the door the Al Rebbe was crying. And he said, one time Adonai Mareinu Rabbeinu, another time Adonai Mareinu Rabbeinu, a third time Adonai Rabbeinu. And then he said, it's killing me. This what they're doing to me. Then he says like this, Mazutra the Chassid, Kaveh Mekatvele B'Shabbata Derigla. His students would carry him to the lecture on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Amar, I'll tell you why, 1 second. Riches are not forever. And does the crown endure for all generations? Means like this. Marzutra, there's two reasons. Number one, either because he came late, because the Rav would come late. It wasn't proper that the Rav came to the lecture and then he waited for everybody. So that after everybody was there, they would bring him, yeah? There's two things over here. Number one, Mezutra was old, and it took him a long time to walk. So they carried him. They didn't have wheelchairs and all that. They actually carried him. Secondly, that when he came, everybody would be sitting on the floor. They didn't have chairs. They sat on the floor. And if they sat on the floor, so then how is he supposed to step over them to get to his place? So they would carry him over the people. So he said, all the cover that he got, he said, what do you think, it's going to last forever? It doesn't last forever. Then the Gemara says like this, Dari Bakapada learned. Mino Hamilsa Damara Rabbanan, from where do we know this, that the Chum said, Havei Mesunim Adin, you should be deliberate in judgment, pick your office, right? You have to first parak, Havei Mesunim Adin, you need to be deliberate and slow and be careful, meticulous in judgment. So he said, what's the source of that in Torah? So he says, "Ichsiv leisale b'malis." The pasuk at the end of Parshas Yisro says, "Don't go up on steps to the mizbeach."
And right away it says, Ve'ela mishpatim eshetosim lifneim. Right? Now, when you have steps, you go up quickly, more than a ramp. A ramp is harder to walk up than steps, because the angle is not comfortable, right? So the Torah says like this, don't go up on steps, judge the people. Meaning, when you judge the people, don't go quickly. Go slowly, with a ramp. In other words, go deliberate in din, that you should do it properly. Not to rush into it. Then it says, the pasuk says, Ela mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem. Yeah, these are the mitzvahs you should put in the presence. So the Gemara asks, it says, asher talamdim. What do you mean tasim? Put before. You don't put halacha, you teach them. Why does it say that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ela mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem? Why does it say talamdim, teach them? So it says, Amar Rabbi Yemevi, Semer Rabbi Chiyabar Abba, Elu klei adayonim, these refer to the kelim of the judges. Okay? And God says, what does it mean? What are the kelim of the judges that you should put? Because like this, objects, you can use the word put. Teaching, you can't do the word, I'm putting seichel in your head. It doesn't work like that. So the Gemara's question is, why don't you say, Eila mishpatem shetasim lefneim, that you're going to teach them? So he says, Eilo klei dayanim. What does it mean? Ravuna ki avanofik l'din. When Ravuna would go to a din, he would tell his servant, Apikola monech hanesoi, bring me the tools of my trade. What does he need? Makol a stick, ritzu a strap, shufra a horn, v'sandalo and a sandal. Okay, so Rashi brings down, there are ways like this. The strap, the stick was used to hit people that didn't listen. A strap he needed to give Malchus. A horn, when they excommunicated somebody for not listening, they would blow the horn. And the last thing, the sandal, in case they needed to do chalitza. So he needed a shoe. So Ravuna, whenever he went out for the day to court, he would say to the servant, give me my kelim that I need. So this is what it means. Ela mishpatim eshetosim lefneim. By the way, in another Gemara, and Rashi brings on, Tosim Lefneim means make it like Shulchan Aruch, like a set table that everything is organized. Like, organized. And that's why they complain then too. You should make, no, in other places it says, Tosim Lefneim, the Gemara says later in Sanhedrin also, Tosim Lefneim, it should be put. What do you mean put? It should be organized. That's why it's like a set table. Because Shulchan Aruch, that's why Shulchan Aruch is called Shulchan Aruch. Why Shulchan Aruch means a set table. How does Shulchan Aruch get the set table? Because it is, not this Gemara, but another Gemara that says, Ela Meshpatim Shetasim Lefneim, it has to be clear. The first one to do that, by the way, was the Rambam. He was the first codifier that organized all the halachas in an organized fashion.
Rif wasn't.
The Rif did it, and each Gemara, the Gemara is not organized.
No, he just put that.
The Gemara's all over the place. Yeah. Huh?
He just put the halacha.
No, in the he paskin, but based on the order of the Gemara. The Rambam was the first one to organize Hilchos Talmud Torah from all over Shas. He took the halachas of Talmud Torah. Hilchos Shabbos from all over Shas. He took the halachas of Shabbos. That was the greatness of the Rambam. He actually codified.
Rif went against the Rambam.
No.
The
Rambam was a student of the Rif. The Rif and Rial Ghazi. The Rambam usually paskins like the Rif. They were both. Mm-hmm. The Rambam was a student of the Rif.
But there was I thought they did not want it to have it set organized like that. They wanted to be in the.
No, that's not what they want.
No.
When the Rambam called the Sefer Mishnah Torah, Rambam Zagdomer, right? Why am I calling the Sefer Mishnah Torah? Because you can go straight from Chumash to me. You don't need to learn Gemara. That's what the Rambam writes. Okay, so the opposition to the Rambam was two things. Number one, not everybody agreed with the Rambam Pesach Halachos. Okay, and you need to learn the source. Secondly, they didn't want people to stop learning Gemara because of it, because the Gemara is the whole source of understanding the Halacha, and that's the famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh if when you paskin shalas, do you need to give the reasons or not? The Rambam holds you don't need to give the reasons. When the Rambam paskins in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam doesn't say the reasons. The Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch also doesn't give the reasons, but he relied on his commentary on the Torah, Beis Yosef, on the Torah, that does say the reasons and the sources of the halacha. The whole argument in the Rishonim, do you need to paskin with the reasons, without the reasons? So the Rambam was of the opinion, like we see in the Rambam, that he didn't give the reasons for the halacha. And that's what they're against. You need to give the reasons, because then you can understand the halacha, then you can understand where it applies and where it doesn't apply. But the first one to actually codify Shulchan Aruch, like a set table, was the Rambam.
In the courts nowadays, do they give the reasoning of what they paskin?
In Beis Din?
Yeah, in Beis Din.
In Shulchan Aruch it says, in Chayshim Mishpat it says, based on the Gemara, that the litigants have a right to say, Mehechen Dantuni. Where did you get this psak? Mehechen Dantuni. From where did you get this psak that you told me? That's what the Gemara says. A person has a right to it. In most Bati Dinim today, they don't let it. Why? In fact, you sign a waiver that you don't do Mehechen Dantuni. Why? It's a very simple reason. They tell the litigants, if you want to get it off to call us to discuss why we passed them like we did, we'll do it. But a lay person is not going to understand, because they're not learned. A lay person is not going to understand. What's the person going to sit down and explain them what? The guy's not going to understand what they're talking about, so what are they gaining by it? So you send a scholar to discuss. We'll tell them why we passed them what we did. But they don't differentiate already. How am I learn? You know, das balabatim is heber das teira. The Shulchan Aruch says.
And other question: does the judge have to deliver the judgment at the time of judgment? Can he get a few days to think about it?
Should he think about it?
According to what we said before, he should be able to.
They do, of course, they do.
There's no hechrech to give the
answer. No Beis Din gives a ruling today unless it's so obvious. I mean, no, especially capital punishment for sure not. But what the halacha is, though, in capital punishment, this is so different than the secular system, though we have death row from the verdict of death penalty until the guy dies, he drops dead in prison anyway from old age. Because it takes about 300 years until they do it. In Teira, when there's capital punishment, the ruling has to be made in the morning, and that day he has to be killed. Because otherwise it's mamish torture. A guy knows he's dying and it's going to be in a week, he's tortured for a week.
What is that process called? It's tolui? When the guy is waiting to be executed. The time span that he's waiting to be executed, what is that called?
No, they just make the judgment in the morning and that day they kill him.
What if for whatever reason they...
Inu yadin, of course, if you don't... What?
What if for whatever reason they couldn't kill him that day? It's not expired. The next day,
no, but it's a law in the Torah. The Beis Din transgresses a law in the Torah.
So they just won't make the ruling until the day that they can't kill him.
Well, yeah, why can't they kill him? I mean, Shabbos, there's no rulings.
Didn't the finish of the Rebbe says they will never condemn anybody for death, even if they know he's
a... No, the Gemara later, the Mishnah says, they didn't say, I didn't know, the guy didn't know how to learn too much. Is a machlaik is 7 years or 70 years? There's three opinions. The guy said 70 years. That's one of the opinions in the Mishnah, but it's not the halacha. There's one opinion says a Beis Din that killed.
It's underneath of the table.
You have to stay at 24/7 just to tell everybody.
We're going to have signs here.
No, after this was the last person. This was the last person.
Well, there are a couple of more that come once a month.
Okay, one second. So one opinion says a Beis Din that kills somebody in 7 years is called a killing Beis Din. Nice. Another opinion says, I think it's Rabbi Lazar, once in 70 years.
Yeah.
Rabbi Kiva said, which he quoted correctly, that if I would be in the Beis Din, nobody would ever get killed. Right. So they said to Rabbi Kiva, to Mishnah later in Sanhedrin, they said to Rabbi Kiva, that's because of you, there will be a lot of killers amongst the Jewish people. Because they know they'll never get capital punishment. But the halacha is once in 7 years, not in 7 years. But that doesn't mean they didn't kill somebody. If they had to, they did. But when the din was that they had to kill him, he had to be killed the same day.
Yashka, they did such a thing, right? They announced that he should, no?
What do you want to know about Yashka?
Yeah.
They did it in the morning, the passing in the morning.
They killed him that day.
They did? Did the Basin kill him?
I had the Romans.
Romans.
Let's leave that out. But Tzavah Sheftechem Basi, it's not so simple. But Pashas, the Jews killed him. But they said the Romans killed him because otherwise there would be more dead Jews. But Tzavah Sheftechem Basi, I will command your judges in that day. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, what did Rabbi Yechanan say? Kineged makal ratzua. That teaches us about the use of a stick and strap in court. The Izaris, you should be meticulous. In other words, that the judge has the authority to use these things, but they have to be only for the sake of Hashem. In other words, it says that Hashem said, "I will command." Meshach Rabbeinu is saying, "I will command your judges." What do you mean? What it means is when you hit somebody in court, when you punish somebody in court, there has to be not because I hit the guy and I'm giving a verdict that he should get beat up. It has to be Mamash Hashem Shemayim. Then the Gemara says like this: Shmeya ben Achaychem Ushvatetem Tzedek. Hear between your brothers and judge them. Okay, Amar Rav Chanina, this is a very important din, by the way. Amar Rav Chanina, it's practical in halacha. Azara lebezdin, it's a warning to bezdin. Shle yishma divrei baldin, that you can not hear one litigant. Kedem shiyavi baldin chavei, before the other litigant arises. Arrives. In other words, if you two are coming to me for din Torah, and I hear one side before I hear the next, without the both people present, I'm not allowed to do it. According to halacha, you become disqualified. Because once you hear one without the other, there's a bias created in your mind.
Yeah. Well, both of them are going to talk simultaneously?
Not simultaneously. No! Both have to be present.
Oh, just as long
means
as...
You can't judge one... You can't listen to one side of the story without the other one there.
Oh. Not that
I'll tell you a little trick. Sometimes Rabbanim, when people come to them, and they have this guy with a dentate or whatever, and Rabbanim don't want to get involved... The Rabbanim tell the guy to tell me what the story is.
Yeah.
And when he tells him the story, the Rabbanim say, "Sorry, now later on, don't say right away. No, I'm disqualified because I heard one side without the other one there." Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Vazara lebaldin, and it's a warning to the litigant. Shulayatim dvarav ledayonim, that you shouldn't tell your thing. In other words, the judge is not allowed to hear one side without the next, and the litigant is not allowed to come and say kedem sheyave baldin chaveri before the other litigant comes, because the pasuk says shemaya bein achechem. You need to hear it between the brothers, meaning when they're both there, but you can't hear one. So it is. By the way, it's a lav. Interesting. The judge is not allowed to hear one side without the other, and the litigant is not allowed to say his side of the story without the other one there. Rav Huna, Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana, so we learn that from a different pasuk. It says, Leisisa, okay, but don't, what does it mean? Leisasi, do not make a false report accepted. Meaning, like we said before, once you hear a case, it's automatically, you create a bias within yourself towards the one side. And that's the way it works, by the way. Whenever you hear, forget even judges, people, b'chlal, when two people get into a fight, it happens every so often. And then, the friends start mixing in. So they hear one side. And then they're already saying who's right.
Yeah.
This is common human nature. Yeah? There's fights going on, whether it's in families or in people, and then the friends, they tell the friends their side of the story, and the friends are already making a, yes, you're right, and they hear the other side, they don't even know what they're doing. They're not allowed to, it's forbidden, by the way.
Should you do the same?
You're not allowed to make, by the way, it's not only in Bezdin. In Bezdin is probably a lav, but this applies to everybody. Well, how can you hear one side of the story without the next?
When you're judging your children, you should hear both sides of the
story. Anytime there's a fight between kids, a fight between adults, a fight between whatever it is, you must hear both sides of the story. You can't listen to one side and make a ruling. Despite what the Gemara says. You can't hear one litigant before, you're not a Beis Din. But if you're judging, or you want to make a judgment about somebody, you need to hear both sides of the story.
But even when both are present, one of them is going to speak first.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, no. But the fact that he's saying in front of the other guy, and you hear, see the response, and you hear the response, it's a whole different story. But when you have one guy without the other guy there answering back right away, of course you can have both people talking together. The way a Beis Din works, by the way, and this is the way normal people work, Apidin, the halacha is the plaintiff goes first, the teveya. I mean, he has to state what his case is. You can't hear the defendant before the plaintiff. I mean, that's stupid. How are you going to work it? The plaintiff goes first. And the Beis Din says to the defendant, he talks, you're quiet. You can take notes for comments. You're quiet. Then you give him X amount of time, whatever it is. And then they give the defendant time to respond with him being quiet. Then they go back, you know, for as long as they feel that they need to go back and forth. But of course, one person talks at a time. Right? But the Beis Din can see right away, just because when the both are there, Beis Din can see right away, just because he's talking doesn't mean he's right.
So that if the plaintiff is speaking first...
I'll never forget this. I mean, this is a 40-year-old story that I heard. A head shliach of a certain place went into Yechidus by the Rebbe, and he had a worker that somehow he had to let him go for whatever, in shlichus, many, a teacher, whatever it was. It's 40 years ago. And that shliach wrote, I mean, the worker wrote into the Rebbe that he was mistreated. So when this head shliach went into the Rebbe said to him, and b'chal that shliach was very bottled to the Rebbe, he didn't talk in the Rebbe's presence. Just listened. And the Rebbe said, what's going on with this issue? So he said, I'm asking the Rebbe permission to speak. The Rebbe said, okay. And he told his side of the story. So the Rebbe said, okay, you hear it. You know, he was told the Rebbe how much he helped this guy. He just didn't appreciate what he helped him, but he helped him tremendously. You know, the Rebbe wasn't judging. The Rebbe was asking, like, what's going on? Let's settle this. But you can't hear one side of the story without the next. By kids also, it's not fair for a parent to take one. By the way, it says, even if it's a guy that's always wrong, the chazakis are always, they start the fights. You have such people that are always starting the fights, yeah? You still have to need to listen to both sides.
When you're at home, your wife tells you first all the time.
What?
He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. You don't get a chance to
pick it.
Right. You don't get a chance to
pick it. So then you call
in the
kids. You call in the kids and you hear the story. You want to hear it from the horse's mouth. And your wife's not a horse. So you need to hear it from the horse's mouth.
In the presence of the...
Both. This push is the right thing to do. Menschlichkeit. Forget halacha. Menschlichkeit. You need to listen both sides of the story. How do you know one's, you know...
But sometimes it gets...
So you have to
escalate.
Have him mesunim badin. Okay. Ushvatetem tzedek. Then the pasuk says like this. You should judge righteousness. Amar Reish Lakish. Tzedek es adin. First determine the accuracy of it. And then render the judgment. In other words, like we said before, when you're certain that this is the right judgment, then say it. What does it mean that says bein ishu bein achiv bein geira, between a man and his brother? What does this pasuk continue? It says afilu bein bayis laliyam, even if a judge needs to make a decision between the upper house, the attic of the house, and the first floor of the house, okay. It's not enough to allocate. Well, what's the case over here? The case over here is like this. A father owned a house. Two-story house. Okay, or the Gemara, Bayis and Aliyah. Bayis and an attic. He died. So two sons are there to get the Yerusha. Right? So you think, okay, one kid gets one floor, one kid gets another floor. Huh? So the din is, you're not allowed to just, you have to evaluate the value of each one, and if one is worth more, then the other one has to pay the difference. I mean, you need to evaluate. You can't say, okay, you go to one floor and you take the other floor. Maybe one floor is worth more or better or whatever. So you need to, that's what it means. Afilu bein bayis l'aliyah. Even l'cheira to make a division between a bayis and the second floor, which l'cheira, each floor is livable, so what's the difference? You need to make sure that everything, one could be more valuable, one could be more important or whatever.
The Beth Din sits for the inheritance also?
Beth Din sits for any dispute between two Jews. What's the difference? Inheritance, you don't think? There's a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch, in Chayesh Mishpat, a long, not simon, simonim, Hilchas Nachlis. Are you kidding? There's a whole parak on Barbasi, Yeshneichlin, a very long parak.
Must be very complicated.
Inheritance law? Yeah. All halach is complicated in Chayesh Mishpat.
Yeah, but then one side is not present. I mean, if there is no trust set, it must be very complicated.
What do you mean no trust set? I mean, if there's no will and...
Right.
Well, if you want to be technical, halach is very easy. You know, it's not done today in practical, not in Israel, not in America. But if you take biblical laws, the sons inherit, the girls get nothing, and the firstborn gets double, and that's it.
But
that's only in properties they own, not properties they will get, not investments that will come in the future, then, you know.
That's not civil.
No. The Torah is completely different than civil law in most of Chayesh Mishpat. Except today we do Dinah Machus Adina. Today in America, in Eretz Yisrael, girls also inherit.
Why?
The best way of doing it, why? It's called Family Feud. And I don't mean the TV show. There's a Family Feud. Bechlau, what they do today is, well, the best thing for the parents to do when they write a will is to make it in a way that it's halachically okay. Uh-huh. In other words, let's say somebody has three boys and three girls. Yeah? And they don't want the boys get everything, the girls get nothing. I mean, you know what the family fight that is. So what do? So, it's getting late. Halachically, you need a din of Yerusha. So, let's say, for argument's sake, you leave over $500 Yerusha. Everything else you write in the will or the living trust is a gift that becomes effective 1 minute before I die. In other words, let's say the estate is worth $100,000, okay? And there's three boys and three girls. Like this, the three boys are going to get everything, and the girls are going to get nothing. So what you do, if you want to write a will according to Allah, then now there are forms in the wills and the lawyers that do this. You write the will like this. 1 minute before I die, I don't want to, the math is going to be harder. Whatever, I'm going to divide my property into six.
$600,000.
Okay, everybody, $600,000, okay? 1 minute before I die, no, it can't be 600. The guy has $650,000. Okay, whatever. So he does like this. 1 minute before I die, each one of my kids is given a gift of $100,000. That I could do. I can give my gift before I die. I can give whatever I want. But it's not even in Yerusha. Then when I die, I leave over $500. And that is the din Yerusha. That remains Yerusha biblical. So the boys will get, the girls will get nothing. And the firstborn, if there is a firstborn, will get double. You understand? Whatever, you work it out in a way that you leave over a very small amount of money for Yerusha. Because you don't want to take away din Yerusha from the Torah. There's a din in the Torah of Yerusha. So you leave over a few $100 and that, or they don't have to fight about because it's it's not a lot of money. Right? And then the rest of it, it was given as a gift before he died. So 1 minute before he dies, whatever that is. Whenever he dies, but the gift is effective 1 minute before he dies, and then everybody gets what they need.
What is it?